Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This is Judy. Today's episode, we have a great conversation with Dr. Kyle Severson. He is with Wilderness Wellness Chiropractic, which is a mouthful and a tongue twister for me for some reason. But I said it, yay! We're going to have a great conversation with him, talk about his practice and what it looks like to work with him. He also talks a little bit about some of the history of chiropractic, which explains some of the stigma that people have around the practice of chiropractic. We also talk about the healthcare system that we have, and he shares his perspectives and thoughts on that as well. Couple things I want to mention quick. First of all, I know that those of you who are listening consistently to my podcast noticed probably that we had a chiropractor on a couple weeks ago, and I just want to mention that it's not that I am going out and searching for all the chiropractors that I can find, but couple pieces about that. First of all, if you listen to Dr. Lara's and you listen to Dr. Kyle's, they are very different podcasts and different perspectives and different practices within their practice. So I encourage you, if you are looking for a chiropractor or looking for healing, to check out both of them. And way in the beginning episodes of the podcast, we had another chiropractor as well. So multiple perspectives to check out. I take people and topics as they come in many cases. So I kind of try to not have too many of the same type of practitioners or topics on top of each other at the same time. You get a very easy access to multiple perspectives, and you know, that's a pretty good thing too. The other thing that I figure I better address just to satisfy one's curiosity, if you came to this via Facebook and if my posting of the podcast went well, you probably saw a picture of Kyle with JP Sears, redhead guy that does a lot of different videos, but is very well known for his deadpan humorous videos covering many topics of the day, typically around health. Anyway, spoiler alert, JP does not appear in this podcast. I hate to tell you that. I just figure I better address this right now before somebody accuses me of doing the whole clickbait thing and then not coming through. Well, you do not get to receive JP in this podcast. However, you do get to hear Kyle, who was in the presence of his greatness. So that should be enough to keep you going. So enjoy, and may the extra good vibes come on through. We're going to head into the interview. We sat down at Kyle's office, and it was great to get to know him a little better. He is so passionate about the work that he's doing, and it's fun to see and fun to be around. We did this very early in the morning, and I definitely learned about myself while I was editing this podcast that I need either an extra cup of coffee or something like that, or maybe I need to like work out before I do an interview. I noticed that my language skills were not at their best. Kyle, however, does just fine, so at least one of us is stellar on this podcast. Anyway, enjoy. Welcome, Kyle.
Hey, thanks, Judy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. This is great. It's great to learn more about what you're doing and
yeah, absolutely.
All of that. So go ahead and introduce yourself. You're pretty new in town, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Dr. Kyle Severson. I'm a chiropractor. Just opened up my office in Duluth, Minnesota here. And it's been open for about 3 months, and it's been an awesome fit. It's been a great fit.
Nice. And since we're on the topic, tell people kind of where your office is.
Yeah, so I'm up along Central Entrance, right in between the mall area and downtown, kind of around the subway, AT&T building. I love the location. It's on a busy street, yet I'm in the back of the building, so it's still nice and quiet, and it's easy for people to get in and out.
Right, yeah. Once they know where you are,
go around the back
of the AT&T store, you're tucked back there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fantastic. Let's start off by talking about chiropractic, and I have... Yeah. You know, we've got a couple podcasts with a few chiropractors, but I want to absolutely hear yours because I think everybody has a little bit different explanation and experience. So go ahead and talk about what to you is chiropractic.
Yeah, certainly you're right. There is a lot of different views, but I hope everyone has this one core view here. And chiropractic is really a principle. It honors and recognizes that we as living things have an internal intelligence that allows us to self-heal and self-regulate. So what does that mean? Well, when we were born, we didn't have to learn or educate ourselves on how to breathe, right? We just did. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to learn how to keep our heart beating. We didn't have to learn how to digest our food or how to heal cuts. That just kind of came with us. And that same intelligence that resides in our body is still in us today. So instead of pointing out maybe what's wrong with an individual, we utilize the fact that the body already has the ability, it already has the tools to heal itself, and we try to improve and build upon that. And one of the ways that we do that is improving the health of the nervous system. Our brain is controlling and coordinating all the functions in the body through a network of fibers or nerves, and it's safe to say that that internal intelligence that we were born with, that life that is in our body, that resides in the brain. And if the brain's connection with the body is hindered in any way, we know that life is not being fully expressed in the body. And as you can imagine, when the body isn't fully expressing life, it doesn't really like that. And so it communicates with our consciousness by giving us symptoms, pain, soreness, indigestion, allergies, anxiety, all these symptoms. And so the chiropractor comes along and says, hey, let's not worry about the symptoms. Let's improve the nerve system to allow the body to work better. And there's a good chance that those symptoms will go away when we have a full expression of life in the body. And that's really what it comes down to.
Nice. Wow. It is really interesting because it's such a... I'm thinking of when we think about chiropractors or how we think about chiropractors, I think we have a much more simplistic view.
Yeah, back pain, neck pain, headaches, right? It's so much more. It really is. Right. Yeah. Right.
And whole body function.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, not just definitely I'm in pain, I need help.
Right, right.
But
we'll get into that.
There's so much more going on. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. The approach of chiropractic, talk about how that is different than medicine.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that question. That's an awesome question. So when I hear that question, I always think of this quote by B.J. Palmer. He's one of the big founders of chiropractic. And he says that medicine is the study of disease and what causes man to die. Chiropractic is the study of health and what causes man to live. So let's break that down a little bit more. So when we think of science, science really deals with entities and non-entities. However, its attention is usually on the entity. Mm-hmm. So let me give some examples here.
Okay.
So heat is an entity. It can be created, like we could build a fire, or we could burn some substance. Cold, on the other hand, is the non-entity. It's merely what exists when heat isn't there. It's the absence of heat. Mm-hmm. So we cannot create cold as a non-entity. It merely is what exists when heat is withdrawn. Even an air conditioner withdraws heat, leaving the room with a lack of heat. And so if you stand next to a window air conditioner, we can actually feel that heat being withdrawn on the outside. And another good example is sound. Sound is the entity, silence is the non-entity. Mm-hmm. We can create sound, and silence is just simply the absence of sound. And probably the best example is light and darkness. So light is the entity. We can create it by striking a match or flipping a switch. And we can even measure it in watts or lumens. And so when we create that, when the light is turned on, what happens to the darkness? Does it collect in a small pile or slip underneath a crack? No, it's just non-existent. All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish a light from one candle. Mm-hmm. Darkness cannot overcome light. So, with that lengthy introduction, we can look at health and disease the same way. Now, what do you think, Judy? In society, what have we chosen to accept as the entity, disease or health?
Much more focused on disease.
Yep, I would agree. And so when medicine began to investigate the issues of health and disease, they chose to make disease as the entity and health the non-entity. And so if we see disease as the entity, we view it as something that can be covered up, poisoned, destroyed, or cut out, right? That's essentially the medical objective.
Right.
And there's a ton of value in that. But what if disease is not the entity? Just like darkness, what if it's something that cannot be destroyed or fixed? It's simply what exists when there's an absence of health. And so chiropractic views health as the entity, which can be created, enhanced, destroyed, and lost. Disease is merely an absence of health. Disease and symptoms are just a manifestation that your health is being reduced to dangerous levels. And so instead of focusing on symptoms and disease, the chiropractic approach is to improve the things that increase our level of health. And it's mainly done through the integrity of the spine and nervous system. So when a higher level of health is restored in the body, the disease and symptoms have a chance to disappear and get better. So I like to always think of it as like a bucket of water, right? The level of water in the bucket is like our level of health. We have different stresses in our lives that create holes in the bucket. Age, chemicals, you know, lack of exercise, poor diet, sickness, all those things create holes in our bucket. And we also have good things that we do to replenish it. Mm-hmm. Just like eating healthy, proper rest, maintaining the spine and nervous system through chiropractic care. Now, as long as we do the things that replenish the water instead of things that create holes in the bucket, the water level will stay at an acceptable level. And so the medical approach is mainly to try to put band-aids over those holes to stop the water from leaking out. Where the chiropractor says, hey, let's work on things to replenish the water. Because if a person goes through life constantly draining off health without replenishing it, the bucket will eventually empty. And when it's empty, we die. And when we die, the attending physician writes on the death certificate the disease that manifested at the end. But really what should be written on the death certificate is they died due to ignoring health depleting factors throughout their entire life and by failing to adequately replenish his health supply. But of course, that would be pretty lengthy.
It would leave us with a lot of questions that we couldn't define in a little
exactly,
box.
Exactly. So... But yeah, that's kind of the difference in the approach, really thinking from health as the entity and disease as something that can't be destroyed. So how do we go about changing that?
Yep. Interesting. Yeah, that's like I'm wrapping my head around that a little bit and just thinking about that, because you're right. It is always a fascinating thing how in this country we really do focus on and have the attitude of, you know, they'll fix it. There's a pill for that. There's a, you know, right. And instead of saying, well, how about we don't get to that point in the first place? Because entropy is a lot harder to
absolutely
fix something when it's broken than it is to...
Much just, easier maintain.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely a mindset that we need.
It's a complete paradigm shift. Yep.
Yeah.
When I heard that for the first time, it blew my head so far out of my... mind. I just couldn't even wrap my head around it. It was crazy.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I spent some time in India, and that's one of the things that they talked about when they talked about America. America, you just want to fix it. You just want to fix it. We want to not have it happen in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah. And And when you look at health as the entity and disease as the non-entity, you understand that, you know, once you do have it, it's not about taking it out or fixing it. It's about changing your lifestyle and allowing those things that your body to actually heal itself. Because just like I said in the beginning, your body has all the tools and abilities. We just have to improve upon it.
Right. And to take control where we can.
Yeah.
Which I think many people feel a little lost in how to control. You know, we've got a lot of stuff coming at us all the time, be it toxins in what we breathe, what we clean our house with, what we put, you know, what we have in our food. We've got so much coming at us that it's trying to find that stasis and those things that can help us do the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really important. So with chiropractic, I know a lot of people who are absolutely chiropractic is they get it. It's wonderful. There's definitely times in their lives that it's a wonderful thing. And then I definitely hear, you know, people who have just a very a negative and sometimes they've never had an experience with a chiropractor and sometimes they have had a bad experience. So talk about that maybe that stigma that sometimes comes with chiropractic.
Yeah. Certainly a great question. I guess starting out with this one, you know, when I do hear that, I'm out in public and say, hey, I'm a chiropractor. And, you know, I'll say, hey, what do you know about chiropractic? And, you know, you'll get sometimes, oh, you know, I had this really bad experience, or this chiropractor hurt me, or, you know, and you hear those things. Mm-hmm. What I always say, I say, now, was that me that did that? And the answer is no. And just like if you go to, you know, get your hair cut and they give you a bad haircut, I don't think people walk around and say, oh, I don't believe in haircuts anymore. That hairdresser gave me a bad haircut. Now I don't like any hairdressers.
Right. No more haircuts for me.
Right. And you just say, hey, that person wasn't a good fit for me, and find someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing goes with chiropractic. There's a lot of different techniques. There's a lot of different viewpoints, but they all center around improving the body's ability to heal itself. And you just have to find the right fit. And so when I hear kind of that stigma, that's usually the first thing I go to. But really the deep-rooted question is, where did that even come from? Mm-hmm. You know, where did this, I feel like there's this underlying subconscious thing that chiropractic is not good. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because I want to figure out where did that come from? And really it kind of comes back, looking back into the history of things. So when we look back in history, let's go all the way back to 1847, creation of the American Medical Association.
Okay.
So who fronts the AMA? It's the Rockefeller family, because they realize that pharmaceuticals and vaccines require petroleum products. And they developed the Public Advisory Board to advise the public on what should and shouldn't be happening in the world of health. Fast forward all the way to 1895. The first chiropractic adjustment is made by D.D. Palmer in Davenport, Iowa. A guy named Harvey Lillard was completely deaf. D.D. Palmer found something in his neck that was just a lump, decided to make an adjustment to that area, and lo and behold, Harvey Lillard could hear.
Whoa.
So chiropractic was founded on this idea that, you know, not neck pain, not back pain. The first chiropractic patient was someone that was completely deaf.
Wow.
And so word got around, D.D. Palmer started to grow this chiropractic profession, and in 1910, chiropractic schools are popping up all over the place, way more than medical schools. Chiropractic is just on fire based on results, and so it really, people just knew that chiropractic was great. They preferred it over the medical system, because they knew if they were going to go to a medical doctor, they'd have to take pills that would make them throw up or get cut open. Mm-hmm. So they were afraid.
Right.
see how things have shifted?
Right.
Some people are afraid to go to the chiropractor. And back then, that was the thing. That was the king. Yeah. Yeah. And so it really starts in 1962, a thing called the Iowa Plan. And it was a plot developed by the Iowa Medical Society with the goal of eradicating chiropractic, because chiropractic was skyrocketing in the state of Iowa, as you can imagine. And what that Iowa plan said, it was a policy of containment on, quote unquote, what medicine should do about the chiropractic menace. And in that document, I have it on my computer and I read it over all the time, just to get fired up sometimes. But it says it encouraged ethical complaints against chiropractors, opposed chiropractic inroads into health insurance, workers' comp, labor unions, opposed chiropractic from all hospitals, and contained chiropractic schools. The actions should be persistent and behind the scenes whenever possible. And the medical community should never give recognition to chiropractors. That's what it said.
Wow.
And so the successful program, they deemed it would be successful if the result was a decline and a mistrust in chiropractic. And the AMA got word of this Iowa plan and they adapted it and started implementing nationwide. And even, I'm too young to remember this, but there was chiropractors now, some older ones that remember that the first exposure they had to chiropractic was a book that the AMA planted in every college library, and it was called At Your Own Risk. And it basically contained all these lies about what chiropractic was. And so in 1983, we're about 20 years after that, there's a guy named Chester Wilk. And he decided that he wanted to sue the AMA. Can you imagine that? Just a chiropractor goes up and says, hey, I don't think what the AMA is doing. I think that what they're doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, you know, can you imagine the balls on that
exactly.
guy?
Exactly, no kidding.
Right? And so he said he took him to Supreme Court, and what they found was that the AMA was guilty of a long history of legal behavior and unlawful conspiracy and restraint of trade to contain and eliminate the chiropractic profession on unscientific grounds. And wow. So 20 years later, after the Iowa plan was implemented, it had to stop. But that was 20 years of lies being spread. And as we know, the damage is done. They didn't, AMA didn't care if it was stopping or not. The damage was already done, and it still continues today. And so it's sad because, you know, this is a beautiful way of healing, and it gets great results. And only because of a few people, we're in the struggle today on how to get our message out and really tell the truth about health. So that's where that kind of really comes from, at least to the best of my ability in looking into this.
Wow. What do we shine a light on that we make negative? I mean, if you could flip that around and talk about all the things that chiropractic does and even modalities similar to it. Here's why this is great. Here's why this works. Medicine. Look at how bad taking medicine is. It's made in a factory. It's not made with real things. It's, you know, Absolutely. It's all chemical. And my gosh, look at the side effects. And, you know, if we just flip that switch, and some people have, I mean, there
yes,
are certain people
better.
Who have that almost the exact thing that you're talking about, the fear of going to the doctor, because in their experiences, the doctor hasn't necessarily helped them or listened to them or
yeah.
whatever. And
has limitations.
Right. Yeah. And I think some of the potential, you know, for somebody who's had a actual bad experience with a chiropractor, you know, it's their physical body. So they feel it sometimes. I mean, granted, if you've had some pills that have made you really sick.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've had those experiences. So
yes.
For me, putting pills in my body, That's a cautious thing that I do, because it's like, well, how long are these effects going to last, and how many days is this going to take me out? Or, you know, so
right.
it is interesting, and it's the experiences, obviously, and it's what we hear. And you're trying to spread the word of, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what the intent is behind
yes.
our education and the work that we put into learning how to do these things correctly.
Yes. Yep.
So I want to dive more into the healthcare too, because I think that's a huge, huge piece. But I want to ask, because I think you touched on something, is the modality. Like, talk about how you practice when you see, because every chiropractor is different in how they work with their patients, what, you know, how long it takes, what other things that they do. And I just want to make sure that people know kind of where your practice,
yes.
your focus is.
Yeah, great question. So I would say I'm very principled at what I do. I focus very much on the adjustment, because the adjustment is what chiropractors do, and that's what I went to school for. So I want to focus on that as much as possible. No one else can make chiropractic adjustments to allow the nervous system to function better. So the more I can do that, the more value I'm going to bring to somebody. And so in terms of technique, there's, like you said, there's a lot of different avenues on how we improve the nervous system. And so to kind of touch on that, really, we have to look at the spine and the nervous system as one thing. It's like an organ, a neurospinal organ. A lot of times we think of it as the skeletal system and the nervous system. They're separate, but they're really one and the same. And so there's different techniques that work to influence the nervous system to have a positive effect on the spine, and vice versa. There's techniques that have a positive effect on the spine to influence and have a positive effect on the nervous system. Now, what my technique is, I'm a hands-on full spine. A lot of people associate that with the cracking. And I work to influence the spine because I know it will have a good effect on the nervous system. And so combining those things, the spine and the nervous system that runs your entire body, we allow that to become more healthy. And when your spine and nervous system are in good health, that's like taking care of your health in your entire body. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of different techniques, and I certainly have more tools in my toolbox as well. But I know that I get the best results with my technique, and so I just have to do what I would want for myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm just congruent that way.
Okay. The first time you and I had a conversation, this got me thinking a little bit, because you had said, you know, you're like you said, you're very focused on the adjustments. So you're not have focuses where it's like, okay, let's look at the nutrition, let's look at those other things. You are very focused on the on the body, which is great in that people know what they're coming to see you for.
Yep, absolutely.
And there's not a lot of side stuff, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but this is where your focus is and what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's not that those things aren't important, but
right.
There's people that know a lot more about it than I do. And so I'm not going to act like I know more about it than like a nutritionist or, you know, doing exercises. You know, PTs are much better at that than I am. That doesn't mean that's not important. Mm-hmm. I just like to stay in my lane. The only objective I have is to remove interference from the nervous system, improve the structure of the spine. And just like a dentist would only focus on the teeth, I'm only going to focus on that too. That has tremendous value, and everyone needs it to live a quality life. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly it. I just like to focus on one thing, and if there are questions, it's easy to get connected, you know, to other people like you that deal, you know, with nutrition and things like that too. And so that's really what it comes down to.
Perfect. Right. Laser focus has its advantages.
Absolutely. Master of one, jack of trades, no. Whatever they say. Right? Jack of all trades, master of none. That's right. Yeah.
They're just totally fine for some situations, but in this case, maybe it's okay. You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah. So let's get back a little bit to our current healthcare model.
Yes. Let's talk more about that.
Yes. because that's a concern, I think, for a lot of people, you know, and they're maybe not seeing, they know it's not, you know, some people totally, they're involved in it in a way that they really can see, if not big issues, little issues, right? We all know that things are not quite working the way we want them to. And some people very much have to function in that system and don't know how to, you know, what else to do. And I think you are offering another option of doing something outside the typical medical model that can help support people's bodies. But let's talk about the medical model and kind of where we're at with that.
Yeah, certainly. So I'll probably ruffle a few feathers on this one, and I hope I do. But really, the question is, what's wrong with the current healthcare model? Mm-hmm. We're the richest country in the world, and we have one of the sickest populations. So there's something wrong. That's just obvious. And so I think, in my opinion, it primarily comes down to we have a focus and attention on symptoms and people not really knowing what health really is. And so if I were to ask a majority of people in society today, and which I have, if I ask them this question, what is health? What do you think they would say, Judy?
It's funny, I've been in this for so long that I'm like, I don't know, what's the typical person say anymore?
Well, they usually say, I'm healthy because I feel good.
Right, I feel okay.
Right, yeah.
Not even realizing the okay, there's a much better way to go than okay.
Right. People don't really realize how good they can feel until they get some chiropractic. There's your shameless plug. But anyway, so people think that they're healthy because they feel good. Well, so follow me on this and see how incredibly devastating that kind of thinking is in society. So what's one of the leading causes of death in our country today, Judy?
Heart disease,
absolutely. Now, if I wait to feel heart disease 80% of the time, what's the first thing that I feel?
A heart attack.
Heart attack or stroke, that's right. And we hear this all the time. People say, oh, he died of a heart attack. We never saw it coming,
right? Yeah.
Right, you don't see it coming, you don't feel it coming, but it was there for decades.
My doctor says I'm fine.
Yeah, my doctor says I'm fine. What's another leading cause?
Cancer.
Cancer, that's right. And so answer this question. Is it possible to have stage 4 cancer, the worst type of cancer you can have, spread throughout the body? We're talking maybe months to live. Can you have stage 4 cancer and not feel it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it can happen more often than not. Happen to young people, active people, doing everything right. And so health has nothing to do with how we feel, yet the system, the healthcare model, is set up to teach us that we should do something about our health only when we feel bad. And what's the usual progression of someone feeling bad? We have this symptom, it bothers us, and we let it go and go and go until it really starts to affect our lives. And we go to medical doctor, and they can only do a few things. They can, what, give you a medication to cover up the symptom, or a surgery because it's too far gone. And now a symptom, what is a symptom? Well, it's like a fire alarm going off in your body, telling you there's something wrong and you should do something. And that something wrong could be a number of different things. Is it a good idea to take the batteries out of a fire alarm?
No.
No. Then why do we think that it's a good idea to cover up our body's alarm system?
Right.
Try to cover up the symptoms. Now, don't get me wrong. I love medicine. No bashing. It's amazing. And medical doctors save lives every day. And we would never throw that out. But only in emergency trauma situations. It's not healthcare. It's really sick care. Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
Health doesn't come from a pill and certainly not from a surgery. In fact, if you get a surgery, there's no way you can be 100% healthy if you don't have 100% of your parts. And so if you're on the pill, the potion, the lotion, even the aspirin, no, you could be covering up a much larger problem. And what do you think? Is that problem getting better or worse?
It's most likely getting worse.
Most likely getting worse. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse. And then suddenly that one drug leads to another drug, maybe an early surgery, some more drugs. And then suddenly you find yourself on the roller coaster in the healthcare model. They have you. Mm-hmm. The roller coaster to the number one leading cause of debt in this country today, which is medical bills. And one of the leading causes of death in our country today. There's a study called Death by Medicine by Gary Null. He's an MD and other PhDs that shows that taking pills, covering up symptoms, medical care complications, now kills 783,936 people on an annual basis. Is it clear that we have a problem with the way we take care of health in our country?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we were never taught of a bigger, better way. We were never taught how the body was created to heal, operate, and function. And that's where chiropractic can really, really come in.
Right. And asking good questions, you know, thinking critically about things. I think we're taught to think the doctor knows all and not to listen to our kind of inner intuition, physician, you know. And I know some people will argue with that, but my gosh, doctors don't have all the answers. You know, they're doing the best they can with what they know, and there's a lot to know, and they're humans. I think that's the one thing we forget sometimes, because we want the doctor to have the answers, right?
Right.
You forget that the doctor is human and not the supercomputer that can just go, these symptoms equal, oh my gosh, look at what's going on here. And again, like you say, they can be miraculous in helping us find you get the right doctor and who can help you pinpoint the why, who keeps asking, okay, why, what's going on here? What's the problem when you're sitting? And then they can find that and maybe steer you to the right place instead of just covering up the symptoms.
Yes.
Those things are huge.
Yep.
It's also a very confusing system. My mother-in-law was in the process of dying, and she had stage 4 cancer. Very overweight. I mean, this is a person who did not eat well at all. And the doctor said, well, minus your stage 4 cancer, you're a really healthy woman. And I sat there and looked at him, and I am like, okay, that's just being nice, and that's not helpful in this situation.
Right.
Like, this isn't, what is she supposed to take away from that? You know, and at that point, the goal was to keep her alive. So it wasn't even just gonna say kind words because the woman is dying, you know. And it's when he said that, I'm like, wow, that was just, as I've had many, but that was one of those wake up calls of, we are not doing something right here.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's how it can go.
Yeah. So you're offering a different solution.
Yes.
You know, one that is health looking at the body in a different way.
Yep. Health. The true answer to what health is health is about how you function. Health is about how your body functions, and we know that the brain and nervous system controls all the functions in the body. And when we can improve on how the brain and nervous system controls the body, then we have better function. And when you have better function, then you have health. And that's it.
So I'm curious, as a chiropractor, just because I understand the training to a point, part of what your training is you're looking to find the things that are blocking that optimal function.
Yes.
And you have ways to see, okay, I've done this. Is it functioning? Is it functioning in the way that we think it should, so that pathway is clear? Like, that's part of what you do, right?
Yep.
Is assess that.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it. We have a lot of different analysis, a lot of different tools that help us to make objective measures on, is the body functioning better? Is the spine and nervous system changing? And certainly we take those measurements, but the truth is there's so many stresses in society today that constantly bombard us that it's an ongoing thing, unavoidable. These stresses are ongoing and unavoidable, that people need a lot more care than they think they need, and over a lifetime. And it's not something that we can just stop and it solves the problem. Just like when you work out and get in good shape, it doesn't mean you can stop and you'll stay there. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain things over a lifetime. All good things that you do in life have to be maintained over a long time. You can't just say, I'm going to eat healthy this week and then I'll be fine for the rest of my life. You have to do those things over time. And the longevity of chiropractic care is really where the gold comes from. Can you keep your body functioning at a higher level throughout the majority of your life? You're going to have a better quality life. No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Can't guarantee a perfect life, but it's going to be much better than without it.
So I think that answers kind of one of the questions that I certainly hear coming from people who don't maybe have experience with chiropractic care, is the whole, well, once somebody starts going to the chiropractor, then I hear that they're
love that
going
question.
To the chiropractor.
Love that question. Because it's so, you know, common sense. Oh, yep. I heard once you eat healthy forever, you got to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Once you start exercising, you got to do it forever. Got to cut your hair forever. Got to change the oil in your car forever. Well, of course you got to do things forever. Like, what's wrong with you? There are things that you have to maintain things over time, because nothing maintains itself. Everything mechanical in life needs maintenance, including us. And that's just the truth. And if people are afraid of not going, or they don't want to go to the chiropractor because they want to go forever, fine. You don't have to do anything forever. But your body wants you to. You should. And so it's your choice. It's your body. It's your responsibility. I'm just here to tell you the best way to take care of it.
And like everything else, you don't change the oil in the car. Things happen. Car might run for a really long time.
You blow out your engine.
But eventually something happens.
Right. And it's much more expensive. It's much more work to have to pick up after those emergency situations. But the thing is that's what people do. And that's why healthcare costs are rising and rising, because it takes more expenses to fix those emergency situations when they could have just been maintained and avoided in the first place. No guarantee for that,
right?
But man, I don't want to wait to find out if that is the case.
Right. So. Well, that's why we go to the medical doctor to get those blood tests every year, to go, oh, okay, oh, your blood sugar's going up, diabetes, you know, you're at risk. So then you go, you find out that information, and then you act accordingly. And if you're going to, just to use the chiropractor as a similar example, if you consistently get before you need it, get things, keep them running right.
Much easier,
so you
to
know, then
things.
Yeah, and yep. Then when we, oh my gosh, I've got a pain.
It's already too
pain,
late.
Then you're now correcting that. It's kind of like, well, I'm sorry, you have diabetes. Now we have to correct that.
Yep.
You know that there's things that have to happen.
Absolutely.
To make that back to quote unquote normal, or to get it as back to normal as we possibly can, which sometimes isn't possible.
Yep. Exactly. And that's kind of one of the limitations. Not sure if you were going to ask this question. We talked about what's wrong with the medical or the current healthcare model.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to talk about the limitations of that.
Sure. Yeah, please.
And so I think it simply comes down to the difference between normal and average. You said we want to get you back to normal, right? Well, there's a difference between the meaning of normal and average, mm-hmm. right? In the health field, we establish that there's norms for things, right? A normal body weight, a normal blood pressure, normal blood sugar level, normal temperature, etc. But we're really talking about averages. And averages can be easily established by statistics or like a 10-year-old with a calculator, right? But normal is far more difficult to know, far more difficult. We know far too little about the human body to suppose at any moment we know what normal is. No one knows exactly what normal is, only the internal intelligence that we were talking about in the beginning, only the internal intelligence in the body does. And I'm not so vain to think that my educated mind knows better than the internal wisdom that had the knowledge to create a single cell into a fully living human organism. Can you imagine that? And so there's just so many variables, and we can't even begin to understand and act like we know what is best for the body. Mm-hmm. And so the limitations with the current health model really revolves around thinking that averages are the normal. We like to put people into tiny boxes and say, if you're not this, then you need to be treated until you're this. And the body, if it's functioning properly, if the body's functioning properly, needs no help from man to determine what is right or wrong at that time. Nature needs no help. That's kind of the key saying we say in chiropractic. And so every time a doctor makes a determination that a function, sign, or symptom is abnormal, and takes measure to change the physiology and affect the sign or symptom, he or she is doing harm if the sign or symptom is the cause of adaptive activity, because at that point in time, the sign or symptom would be normal, period. And so a fever is a good example, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. We have a fever, it rises to help us fight the virus, right. The bacteria. Now, that's a good thing. We want our body to do that. But we have fevers that can really do some harm to us. Why would the body ever harm itself? Well, it must be because it's not functioning correctly. There's that word, function, again. And so we have to make sure the function's better, so those signs and symptoms are actually the alarms system going off that's going to help us. And so really, I think that was where the limitation of our health model comes from, is we just try to put people into boxes when there's just too many variables to know exactly what the body needs at a certain amount of time.
Right. That's interesting. And so, again, back to your keeping the pathways clear, letting things work.
Yeah, let the body do its thing.
Work. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I tend to be an outlier on a lot of different things. So yeah. For me, dealing with the medical model is really tough, because if I go in and say, well, I can't take morphine because it does nothing for me, they look at me like I'm absolutely insane and just a problem patient.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, now you're the problem. And so now we're going to dismiss everything you say, because that doesn't fit into what we know. Right.
Yeah.
Unless I get somebody who really has experience and goes, oh, okay, now I understand. But
right.
We're trained in those boxes. The medical model is trained in those boxes, because that's how it's easiest to function that way. It's easiest if you have a set of rules that you can follow, and anybody outside of that, it's sadly, if you think of them almost negatively, you know, I mean, that's kind of how it feels from a patient's perspective,
right.
is worth to be treated almost negatively instead of taking a step back and go, okay, well, this is different. What do I do with this? This
right.
is, you know, huh, I haven't run across this before. That's not what happens, because nobody has time in the medical system.
Right, right. And that's why what I love about chiropractic, people can come in here with a number of symptoms, and it really doesn't change a whole lot of what I do. I'm going to find where there's areas in the spine and nervous system that need cleared of interference. Mm-hmm. I make those adjustments, knowing that the body will work better, and having faith in that internal intelligence that we all have to know what the hell to do.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to it. And now there's limitations in that. If you've had signs and symptoms for 10 years, it might take 10 years
right.
for it to go away.
That's it's not as much as it sometimes can feel like magic when you find, you know, when you get that chiropractic treatment, there's still so much going on in there if it's been a long time that your body is like reorganizing.
Right, right. the principle that the body heals itself and regulates, that is 100% true. And there's just times where we neglect it and it may not solve the problems that we want it to. And when that happens, I say, yeah, let's try surgery. Let's try medicine. But let's not forget that who really does the healing? No doctor heals. Your body does. You are your own best doctor. And that's what you really have to get the point across. We are in control. We have to be in control of our health because ultimately that's what does the healing.
Right. And yeah, and listening to that inner thinking about, okay, what are they telling me? What makes sense here? And being open to other options and than just the medical model. You know, doctors don't know everything, and they can't,
and they shouldn't. Your body, you were born with all the wisdom in the universe. You came from a single cell to 3 trillion cells. Man, there's something at work there that knows a lot more than we do. So
it's
let's just have faith in that, and know that we were born perfect and with all the tools we need to heal.
So our medical system, and we talked about, obviously, we've got issues with it, but what in your experience, in your opinion, what's driving that maybe off-course direction?
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into what we were just talking about. So I think the reason is this model is continuing is because most people don't feel like we are in control of our health. We're not in control of our greatest asset. And a lot of people don't know this is even happening. So if we're not in control of our health, who is? One avenue is the pharmaceutical companies, right? They're telling the doctors what drugs to give you. And pharmaceutical companies are multi-billion industries. They have people working vigorously in advertising and marketing to sell something that is usually incredibly cheap to make and can be highly addictive. And so they sell it. They can sell it at any price they want. And so the evil working around this is so insane, you can't even begin to comprehend. Another one, big one, is insurance companies. And insurance companies are dictating our health, right? They're saying this is how long we treat them. This is how much we pay for it. And this test is better for them, but you know, we don't cover it. So you got to do this test. So your care is based on what your insurance pays for. You can have two people, one with great insurance and one with no insurance. If they go to the hospital, are they going to get the same care, Judy?
Mm-mm-mm.
No.
And I can speak from experience on that one.
So again, so health insurance is really not health insurance. It's sick insurance. Does your insurance pay for you to eat right, exercise, correct your spine, and maintain the quality of your life? No. But what do they do? What do they pay for? They pay for the emergency trauma care, the drugs, and the surgery. So you see how this just fuels the fire, the failing health model, because we're already set up and taught through insurance to wait until a crisis situation happens because they know they'll help pay for it. And by that time, it's usually too late to recover any fraction of health that we have left. You know, expecting health insurance to keep you healthy is like thinking that your car insurance will pick up the tab for your oil change. Your body needs maintenance just like your car, and paying for it is just part of life. And so those are the two things that I really see that continues to fuel this fire of the current health model. And I see that every day people come in asking about insurance, you know, on drugs, on all these things that, you know, it's like, wow, when can we just stop and say, let's stop this madness somehow, some way? And so I think it really comes off of those two things.
Well, and it is, it's funny, funny in a not funny way, to sort of think about the fact that that our health insurance is there for us when we fall, which sounds nice, right? When something happens, it sounds nice.
If I break a leg, I want health insurance.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And thank God. And thank God for the medical system that is there. I mean, there are beautiful things happening.
Yes.
But it is sort of weird. You know, I don't know what the answer is to universal healthcare, right? Like, I hear the people who love it and the people who hate it. And yeah, I know some people who are so, like, their experience is they're so grateful for it. It has saved them and gotten them onto a good track, right? So in some cases, it's good. And I know some people argue that's not the case. But I always think of the fact that we've got so many things working against us, right? Like, we've got the food system that is designed that, the you know, my own personal beef. How much money are these companies spending to figure out how to make us eat a few more chips or design a food that we're going to not be able to stop eating? There's a lot of money in that.
So much.
There's lack of, you know, companies don't want to label aspects of their food. Well, there is that way I feel sometimes. It's like, you know what? Fine. If you're not going to let me know what's in my food and you're not, you know, we're not going to have the goal of the abundance to be the good quality stuff coming our way, and it's easy to store Twinkies, so let's keep them on the shelves. If that's what you're going to try to get me to do, and you're going to, and corporations are going to get to control that, then yeah, I want healthcare, and I want really good healthcare, because you're not giving me the choice. You're taking away my freedoms to decide
what
goes in my mouth.
Absolutely.
What, you know, and granted, you know, choices is obviously, personal responsibility is a huge piece, and we need to do what we can, absolutely, and but we have a lot working. You know, if sugar is a drug, we've got it coming at us all the time, for instance. You know, like I said, there's a lot of design and making it hard for us to eat well, and it's just the way we've kind of, you know, kind of look at how many fast food joints there are, right? So it's, yeah, if you think about the healthcare system, there's a lot of sense that it does not make.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like it's out for us.
Yes. And honestly, I think that health insurance is kind of on its way out. And I think that it will be obsolete. You know, maybe not in 10 years, maybe not even in 20 years, but eventually I think it has to. Because, you know, it comes back to the entity, non-entity thing. If health is the entity and disease is the non-entity, which it is, I'll just spoil alert, it is. Disease cannot be destroyed, and so it simply exists in the absence of health. And so just like darkness, it's what exists in the absence of life. We cannot destroy darkness. We can only add more light. We cannot destroy disease. We can only add more life. The medical system is waging a war on disease, which is something that can never be destroyed. And so in this disease-treating approach, continued success is largely dependent on advances in technology. And of course, that technology and its accompanying research is at a high cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so this creates an economic burden on much of the world, a burden that most cannot bear. So even in a country as affluent as the U.S., the cost of disease-treating technology is growing far faster than the average American income, so that it becomes largely unaffordable.
Right.
And if medicine is to progress in its battle to overcome disease, it must constantly have more sophisticated and a greater number of weapons to do battle with disease. And so that's where health insurance comes in. That's where health insurance helps us with. Health insurance is a company. They're a company. They're out to make a profit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a company that has designed a product to help offset the high cost of treating disease. And that's great. But now, as health insurance premiums and deductibles go up, have they gone up or down within the past decade, Judy?
Oh my gosh, so up.
Up, and they've gone up. And do you think that they'll continue to go up, or do you think they'll start coming down?
I wish they would start coming down, but
right.
That's not realistic. Yeah.
Right, and so we know the war on disease will be ongoing and require more and more costs. And so I can only imagine that the health insurance will continue to get more and more expensive, to the point that it's pretty much useless to even have it because the deductible is too high to do anything about anyways.
Right.
In other words, so I have a good friend of mine that said health insurance is a sinking ship because it's relying on a system that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm out of network as a health insurance provider, because I don't want to go down with a sinking ship.
Right. Well, and so many people, I mean, there's so many people who are in more of an integrated medicine aspect who are not. There's the desire to take the insurance because you want to help the people.
Yes.
But the reality of being able to do that is getting harder and harder.
That is dead on. You know, when people come in, you know, into the office, and I always check their insurance because if they have benefits, I'll use them.
Right.
But almost none do. And if they expect their insurance to pay, I wish I could. You know, I wish I could give my care away for free because I want to help so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the reality is not the case. And so it's all about making it as affordable as possible. And compared to everything else, MRIs, needle injections, surgery, it's a great deal. You know, if it costs $50,000 to get the surgery, how much should it cost to prevent it? It's, you know, it's just, it's all perspective, but That's exactly right. I want to take it. I want to use insurance, but it's just, it's not doing anything for anybody.
Right. Well, and the amount of work that it does to do that, it requires a whole full-time person to have particular skills to be able to do all of that. That takes away from either your ability to take care of the patient or...
Yeah. Judy, you're hitting that right on the head. I can't even explain how how true that is. Man, that was so head on, right on.
It's tough and it's sad. I mean, I think it's sad.
It is.
You know, yeah. I remember a time when my first health insurance, I used to work for the government, was fantastic. If I needed something undone, I didn't have to go to this doctor to ask to go to this doctor. It was like, no, go there, get that done. We don't want to pay for that visit to say that you go to the, now that's not how that works. And now it's like, can I do this? And can I see this doctor? And you know, it's gotten more complicated and more complicated as time goes and you get the choices get whittled down. And what well, does that healthcare plan cover when you're like calling the places and going, okay, I've got this three medications, these two doctors that I see, and which plan covers that?
Yep.
It's kind of just ridiculous. We're
dictating, again, we dictate our health on what insurance does, and that's a low-level thinking, in my opinion.
Well, right, it doesn't give us the choice. Again, it's taking away freedom, and it's taking away our choices, and it's taking away our ability to run our own healthcare and to see the people. You know, when insurance keeps changing through employers and through just the insurance, and you can't go to the doctor who's seen you for the last 20 years, that person knows you. That person, when you trust them and they know your history, it's different than sitting down with a doctor every time is a different doctor. You're getting different healthcare. I have a couple doctors that I've seen since I was a little kid, and I remember that was what I would do when the insurance started being more picky. It was like, okay, these are my two people. Which plan covers that? And then we'll start there because those are the people who know my care and consistency. And that's one nice thing too, or an interesting thing about chiropractors and even other modalities. Somebody is like hands-on and I would assume you kind of gain a muscle memory for that person, right?
Yeah.
You know, so
I want
consistency can be really important there too.
Right. I don't want to be the doctor that treats the patient. I want to be the doctor that takes care of the patient. Because treatment signifies an ending. Caring signifies, hey, I want to be there for you for whenever you need me for the rest of your life, because I know your body better than anybody. I can take care of it in a capacity that will have a lot of benefit to you.
Right.
Right. And insurance is going to change from year to year. So you better pick someone that you like, because the next year they might not be covered.
Right.
So it's just taking that leap and just saying, hey, I care about my body. I'm going to pay for it because I want to have someone that I like to go to with any questions about taking care of my health.
Who's got the patient's best interest in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I want to ask you, in the whole craziness of the healthcare system and this feeling that it keeps breaking more and more and it doesn't have our best interest in mind and we have to fight, you know, insure, like you're saying, medical insurance, it's a company and their goal is to deny claims. I mean, I think when you start to understand that reality, it's so sad that you have to fight. I've known people who have had to quit their jobs so that they can try to get their stuff paid for, which in the first sound of it doesn't make sense. Well, no, you go to work because you need to pay your bill. But the bills are so oversurmounting. The treatment so logically should be paid for that they've had to, all the time they spent on the phone. It's like, I can either have a job or I can try to fight for my healthcare. And I've known of people who have done that and talked to some of them directly. That's crazy. That's messed up, right? And it's not they're getting crazy treatments. They're just trying to get what is helping them. And those are not the typical cases, but they're more typical all the time, right?
Yeah.
What do you have any ideas, anything to say to somebody who is kind of seeing that tipping point or saying, yeah, I don't, okay, fine. I don't like the way we're going, but what do I do? How do I do this as a patient? Is there any way I can influence the system? I mean, I think your point a little bit ago is to beat the system. If we could all just be really super healthy and never have to, you know, they would have to, insurance would have to do something different.
Yep.
There are a lot of people working to get preventative care.
Yep.
To get preventative care paid for.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who are saying, hey, let's take the logic train and go, let's do this instead of the post broken let's do the pre-broken.
Yes.
And put our focus and our money there so that the system doesn't overtop itself, because it's feeling like it's getting top heavy. Too much money going into healthcare that nobody is able to put back in, or sick care that nobody's able to put back
in. There you go. Yep.
What do we do as an average person? Is there anything that we can do to help either influence our own healthcare or influence the system? Because I think there are some people who are like, well, that's just the way it is. Nothing I can do. And it always frightens me when people say that, because I don't have an answer for what people can do. But I don't want to lay down and go, yeah, that's just the way it is. Like, that doesn't feel good to me. That's, you know what I mean? That doesn't help anybody. And it doesn't help them. And I want to help them.
Sure.
Any thoughts on that?
So the question you're asking, are there solutions to some of these problems that
right, exactly. we've addressed? Exactly.
Well, I think looking back, you know, kind of the problems that we had said is we don't understand what health really is. We have a system that is statistically, you know, killing more people than it's saving, and the costs are becoming insurmountable. And so I see chiropractic as a huge solution to those problems. So I hope this will answer the question. Chiropractic is a solution because it really truly honors how it honors how a person feels, but it doesn't treat the patient based on how they feel, because that's not what health really is. Health is about 100% function, and because the brain and nervous system controls the function, the chiropractor's job is to make sure that there's no interference on that. And so it's doing its job. And so we aren't putting people in boxes based on what we think is normal and not. Again, one of the problems we addressed. Like I said, I simply make those corrections to the spine and nervous system. And after that, I have faith the body will do the rest. And so it's really understanding that you are your own best doctor. And if you get well under chiropractic care, I don't want the credit. Only the living body can heal itself. That's one. Number two, adaptability. What really causes injuries and illnesses? It's really the failure of the body to adapt. See, I'm a runner. When I get injuries, it's because I do too much too soon. My body isn't able to adapt to the stresses at that point in time. It tells me to take it easy by shooting pain into my patellar tendon. And I have symptoms. But is there a way to improve upon my body to adapt to those stresses? Yes. Humans are the ultimate adaptation machine. We are the apex predator because we have the highest adaptive ability from the nervous system, allowing the brain to communicate better with the body so it can adapt better. And that's why people that go to the chiropractor find they get injured less often. Mm-hmm. They get sick less often because they have a higher tolerance to these unavoidable everyday stresses that we go through in life. And so I think we honestly are devolving as a human race. And so we need chiropractic care now more than ever. We need it just as much as the air we breathe, because it's helping us to adapt to the ongoing, never-ending stresses in life. And that's a fact as obvious as the sun is bright. And so lastly, it really goes back to the health as an entity. We cannot destroy the disease. We can only add more life. And chiropractic adds life to the body by removing interference on the nerves that carry the life force from the brain to those 3 trillion cells that make up who we are. It completely flips the paradigm of health around, and as one of the richest countries in the world, like I said, and we have the sickest population, it's no question something has to change. And I believe chiropractic has the answer, and it has for decades. It just has to, people just have to realize what we are and what chiropractic can actually do. Mm-hmm. And it's up to me to get that message out. And so I certainly appreciate you having me on here to share that message with everyone.
I want you to talk about how to find you via the web, etc. But I kind of want to go back just a little bit to say, you know, in the whole statement of when you're looking for a chiropractor and finding somebody that you feel comfortable with, that it's okay to come in, talk to you,
yeah,
and find out who you are and know if working with you is going to feel like a good thing to them.
Yeah. So consultations are always free in the office. Anything that you have or have questions or concerns about, or maybe even just you heard this and say, hey, I feel fine, but I get this guy, you know, feeling how I feel has nothing to do with health. I want to go in and see how my spine and nervous system are functioning. Consultations are always free. Come on in and we'll sit down. We can discuss on what we can do. And then I'll can walk you through the process of how we check the health of your spine and nervous system. And then once we know that, once we get an idea of where you stand, then we can actually put together something to allow your body to improve upon that. And so it's super easy to set up something like that. Would be no more than 20 minutes. Pretty easy to call on the website, wildernesswellnessduluth.com. Check it out. Check out the videos. I have more stuff on there as well, explaining chiropractic and what actually we do in the office. And if you're not a good fit, that's okay. That's why there's a lot of chiropractors out there. When I moved to town, people are like, oh, there are not many chiropractors here. No, there are. And that's good because we want awareness to chiropractic. The more chiropractors there are in a town, the more awareness. And that's great. It's all about helping people. It's not about having a successful business. That will come with the more people that you help and the more you can get your message out.
And I appreciate that you acknowledge that there are different, there are so many different, every chiropractor is different.
Yes.
Like the way they go about things. And there's some, like you said, there's the basics, but there's the, everybody's kind of got their own how they do it.
Yep. And one of the big famous chiropractors said, if chiropractic doesn't seem to work, don't question the principle. Check the technique. Mm-hmm. Chiropractic always works. We have innate ability to heal ourselves, and the nervous system helps us do that. If it doesn't seem to work, it's the technique. The principle is a law, and it always will be.
Well, thank you, Kyle. It's great. Like I said, it's great to get to know you a little bit more and the work that you do. And, you know, part of why I'm doing the podcast is to share this information and to help more people find people that is a good fit for them. Because,
yeah,
like you say, many different chiropractors, many different ways to go about. Who do you feel good with? Who do you get, like you're saying?
Yes,
absolutely. And sharing that information. And it's great to just kind of, yeah, hear your perspective and an understanding of the modality that you're doing. And you're very excited about it. And it's very inspiring. And it's fun to hear some of the deep conversations about that and chiropractic. And for me to even learn more history.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on here. Love what you're doing. I've learned so much from you, and I hope you found a ton of value in me being here today, and I hope you did learn a little bit something else on what drives me, what drives chiropractic, and the passion behind it, because we need it now more than ever.
Yeah, well, and it's great to have people who are passionate about what they do and understand what they do and how they can help. Yeah, that's what we need in our quote-unquote healthcare system to create the healthcare system.
Absolutely. So, couldn't said it better myself.
So thank you. Thanks for the work that you do.
Yeah, thanks, Judy.
You know, I think many, many of us get caught up in life and all that life is asking us to do and all that we are asking from life and our focuses and work and money and all of that stuff that we're trying to kind of pull together to make a great space for ourselves on this planet and a great experience. I hope that you found some inspiration to keep health in the forefront and maybe do a little self-assessment. How are you doing? How are you feeling? And what does that mean to you? And what might you do to help yourself feel even better? I think the question that Kyle asks about what is health and the answer many times being the absence of disease is something that we all, again, get kind of caught up in with our busy lives. What does health and wellness mean to us? What does that look like? And how can we treat ourselves every day, maybe just a little bit better, to keep ourselves going and healthy on this planet as long as we can? Not just being alive for as long as we can, but living fully as long as we can. And this is a struggle and a balance we're all trying to figure out, right? We're all on our journey. I am definitely working on all of this myself too. Thank you so much, Kyle, for sharing your passion and your knowledge and your perspectives with us. Thank you all so much for listening. You can check out all the rest of the podcasts at wellnessrenpodcast.com. That's wellnessrenpodcast.com. All the episodes are there. You can go back as far as you want. Look to the left and you can sign up for the email list. We just send you an email when we have a new episode. It tells you what the topic is, the description, and sends you a link that you can click and play. Super easy. And if you are an Amazon shopper, you can also click on support the podcast. Click on any of those links. You can look at whatever you want. Anything you purchase that day, a little bit of that sale. So no extra cost to you. Just a portion of the sale goes to support the podcast. Thank you so much for everybody who has continued listening and sharing our podcast. That is what helps so much, is share the information with people who might be interested and might benefit. We so appreciate it. You can find us and subscribe on iTunes, the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. It would mean a ton if you took a moment and left a review, especially if you like what you hear. You know, I really want to offer somebody, like the first person who puts a review on iTunes and emails me about it, that I'll take you out to dinner, but I don't know if that's bribery. I'm not really, I don't know, I don't want you to review it if you don't like it. I just want to appreciate you for your time. That's all. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't know if that's a fair or appropriate offer or not. You can certainly connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/wellnessren. Wellness R-E-N. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, here is to you continuing to find the pieces that fit into your health and wellness puzzle.